Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Please can you remind me, if you'll be so kind, staring out into space, asking God to hear my case, trying to think of all things past, how long will my memory last? The purple angel, the purple angel.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I hope you're having a great day today. It's finally sunny in Minnesota, and we are getting used to spring. So hopefully you are just as lucky as we are and having a little nice weather for a change. For those of you that are new to the show, I just want to share with you a little bit about us. Basically, Alzheimer's Speaks has been in existence since, gosh, I think it's 2011. And we were thrilled to just be recognized as one of the top 10 podcasts out there for dementia. I'm a daughter whose mom had dementia for 30 years, and it was life-changing. And my goal was really to raise all people's voices, those with dementia, their family, business professionals, researchers, advocates, you name it, because it takes all of us to shift our dementia care culture from crisis to comfort around the world. We also are a media company and help companies expand their brand footprint by leveraging all of our different platforms as well. And our listeners have been wonderful. You see, we have never spent any money on advertising. Everything is word of mouth. And so I want to thank you so much for your likes, your clicks, your shares on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and in all the other social media platforms. It really takes a community to bring together a sense of unity and this togetherness if we're going to win this battle. So if you're listening, think about maybe being our next guest. I'm sure you've got a story yourself. If you're interested in more information on all of our platforms, just go to alzheimerspeaks.com and hit the projects and initiatives page, and that'll give you a real broad swipe of what exactly we do in terms of education and awareness. I want to give a couple of shout outs before we start our show today, which is going to be talking about dementia wrapped in a purpose. And we've got a wonderful couple who is going to share their story in just a bit. But first, I want to give a shout out to Diana Pierce and her show called What's Next with Diana Pierce. She just interviewed me this last week, and she was one of our main TV anchors here for like 32 years in Minnesota in the Twin Cities area. And she's just a fabulous, fabulous woman. And I was honored to talk a little bit about dementia and different things that are going on. One of the topics that we talked about was the Stall Catchers game, where they just had their megathon, which was real fun. But the Stall Catchers game is where you can actually analyze actual data for a research project where they are looking at capillaries in brains, and you can help push research forward. So you can just go to stallcatchers.com to find out more information about that. I also want to give a shout out to Dementia Action Alliance. They're having their second North American Dementia Conference June 20th through the 22nd down in Georgia, which is always fascinating. And a lot of their speakers have dementia. So it really is very person-centered and raises their voice as well. Last shout out I'm going to give is to Gable Pines in Vadnais Heights in Minnesota. I've been doing a series for them this Friday, the 26th. I'll be doing a program from 10:30 to 12:30 there that's free to the public. Again, that's Gable Pines of Vadnais Heights. Their phone number is 651 651-829-3137. That's 651-829-3171. And the program this Friday will be Realities of Dementia, Family-Friendly Tools and Tips, with some more programs then to follow. Well, let's get into our show today. I am excited to have this couple with us. We have with us today Janet and Ken Eldred. And Janet is a former bookstore executive, completing her 15th year as library director, and she was diagnosed with dementia in 2012. So welcome, Janet. How are you doing today? Janet, are you with me? Well, hopefully we didn't lose them here. Keith is her husband, and he is a writer, designer, marketing professional, and longtime library volunteer. And he left his career of 29 years with the same corporation to work with Janet to raise money for her library. So, Keith, are you there?
I think so. Can you hear me?
I could hear you, but I couldn't hear Janet. And so Janet...
There was a mic button on the phone that we didn't realize we had to push.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, sounds good. Well, I just want to welcome both of you to the show today. I'm excited to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. The weather in Pennsylvania is nice today, too. It's the first time ever, or at least this year.
He's exaggerating. We've had a few good days.
Well, that's good. That's good. We've had them kind of up and down as well. We had a really nice holiday weekend this last weekend, so we lucked out. Well, let's start out with you, Janet. If you can tell us a little bit about your diagnosis and your experience with dementia.
Well, several years ago, we started noticing that I was forgetting important events and upcoming events. And I would have to ask Keith for information. I just didn't know. And then as the years went by, it got worse. And then we realized there was a problem. And my main doctor.
Primary care
doctor, he referred me to a neurologist, and if I'm remembering right, that at that point I was diagnosed. And over the years, I'm afraid I've declined, but at this point I'm still able to work with lots of help from Post-it notes and staff, and my board is understanding as well.
I can jump in a little bit about the diagnosis. Janet's psychiatrist, because she's had a long time diagnosis of depression, so she's seen a psychiatrist for years, sent us to a psychologist who gave her her first cognitive test in 2012, and we knew that she had problems then remembering things and thinking through things, and the test confirmed that. It's the kind of test where she has to repeat back lists of words and solve puzzles and connect the dots, things like that, and her performance ended up in a diagnosis of dementia from that.
Okay. And it's very common for people with depression in their history to not be looked at seriously in terms of dementia. They go and they seem to go to the depression side quickly. I know that I've heard that story from many, many people around the world. And it is a tricky diagnosis because so many of the symptoms are common between the two. Janet, how did you feel when you got the formal diagnosis? How did it hit you?
I don't think I really believed it. I think I went the way of depression as well. Like, this is something that's happening because of my mood. But as the years went by, I got over the depression, but not the memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
I would add that she had depression and anxiety, and we have seen that her anxiety has lessened for whatever reason.
I think it's because I don't remember things that happened.
Well, and that could easily be. That could easily be. Or that you're not feeling as pressured to fit in, or, you know, like with some of the social standards and stuff, some people will say after a while that goes by the wayside. And so they don't worry about stuff they used to worry about.
I agree.
And that's a gift, you know, that's a gift in a strange little package there. But yeah, societal standards are so high, and we're all trying to be perfect so often, and meeting everybody's needs. It's no wonder, you know, there's so much anxiety and depression in the world, because that makes us feel so disconnected. And it's nice when you can be your authentic self in the world. I loved that when my mom got to that point, because she was just really such a joy to be around, and taught me to worry about those things less too, that, you know, it really didn't matter in the scheme of things. And
yes, last week I had a speak in front of an audience, and I was quite comfortable. Now, 10 years ago, I don't think I could have done it. I would have been too anxious and upset. But I got a nice applause.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. What, can I ask what you were speaking on?
I had was given an award. It's called Wise Women of Blair County. And I was actually recognized for the work I do.
Wonderful.
I want to add to that because around here it's the most prestigious award in the county. Janet joins women who are state senators and judges and doctors and teachers and young women too, who are up and coming professionals or students or people who contribute to nonprofits. And because Janet has had exemplary service for the library, she received this award, and there were six other women who spoke, and Janet was the last to speak. And our perception, at least, was that she got the longest ovation, and it was a very special night for us. And it was in part because of Janet's willingness to speak about her disability too, in addition to her longtime service. She also serves this role as a picture of a woman working with disability, and that touched a lot of people that evening.
Oh, wonderful. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about, and again, I'm going to throw this to Janet first. Janet, what is your hope for the library, you know, with your project? I know you've got years into the library. Maybe start with how you feel the library helps community first, because I think a lot of people don't even know what all you guys do.
Approximately 4 years ago, we did take on a project to build a new library in our community, about twice the size of the previous. Lots of special things, like a beautiful children's room and a young adult room, and the local American Legion sponsored what is really like a living room type place. And then we have a community room and a kitchen. It's just a beautiful library. I appreciated the previous library, but this one gives so much more to the community, and it is appreciated by the community. I would like to leave the library. I'd like to stay until I reach my retirement age of 66. And when I leave, I'd like to have the library even better than it is now, and money in the bank. Like, our goal is to have $1 million in the savings account as a safety net for the library.
Oh, nice. Keith, why don't you go ahead and jump in a little bit and talk about your project, This is Red, and how you hope that project can help the library.
I'm looking forward to talking about that. I want to correct one number that Janet gave. This might be one example of how her memory is a little faulty sometimes. She said that the project began 4 years ago, but it actually began 15 years ago when she became the librarian, and that's when the capital campaign for the new library started. And then after 11 years of work, with Janet being the day-to-day manager of the project, the new library opened just over 4 years ago. This summer it will be 5 years. Is that coming back to you now, dear?
Yes.
As she mentioned, the new library is a lot bigger, and so there's a lot more computer stations for people. The children's room in the old library was a nice safe space, but it was in the basement. It didn't have windows. The new children's room is probably 3 or 4 times as big. There's nice big windows in there. There's a community room with a very nice kitchen. There was nothing like this in the previous library, and the library is used, I was going to say round the clock. It's not open round the clock, but it's open 7 days a week, and there's always programs coming in here, and so it's a vital service in the community. Now, as far as the project, it's very meaningful to us because Janet and I are both longtime bookworms, and we met because we're bookworms. We were both working in Walden Books. Lori, you would remember Walden Books. Well, the younger mm-hmm. people wouldn't. It's not in business anymore, but that was probably the leading bookstore at the time. I guess Barnes & Noble was probably around, but Walden Books was a really big chain. And Janet and I met when we were both working in Walden Books, and I eventually moved to where she was because we were both working up in New England, but she was originally from Pennsylvania. So I moved down here to be closer to her. I got the job with the corporation that you talked about, and we have 3 sons, and we've had a great life. And when Janet started to have these problems, we had to start thinking about, well, our bucket list sooner than we might otherwise have, because as you know, with dementia, you don't know what turn it's going to take or how much time you have. And so it took a number of years for us to figure out what we wanted to do, and we settled on a project that I think of it now as we're helping each other make our dreams come true. Her dream is to do as much as possible for the library, and that's very important for me too. And I've been a writer for a long time, but I've never had a wide readership. I'd like to have a book of mine have a lot of readers. And so we settled on a project that where we're aiming to raise that $1 million for the library that Janet mentioned. And the key way that we want to do it is we recognize that it's a moonshot. It's a very high goal, and that is to raise the majority of the money from my debut novel, which I started writing about 5 years ago. So it ties in a lot of things for us.
Oh, interesting. So is the novel out yet, or where are you at in the process?
The manuscript is done. I originally drafted it in 2014, and I drafted it, I think, in a unique way. I had formed a habit of doing my writing, my drafting, on Facebook. And so my Facebook friends would see my posts, and they would see the new section that I wrote every day. And so I wrote the novel over 160 consecutive days, and I ended up with a very long novel, about 120,000 words at the time. And that's about as long as To Kill a Mockingbird, just to make a comparison. So it's It was a very long novel. And like a lot of writers, I set it aside for a couple years so that I could come back to it fresh. And then last year, I again revised it on Facebook in view of all my friends. And now the manuscript is complete, and I have submitted a proposal or two to literary agents, but that is very hard to, it's very hard to find an agent and a publisher. So I think I'm probably going to self-publish it. So the manuscript is done, but the book is not out yet, but I'm feeling more and more like it's going to be available by fall, self-published.
Okay. Okay. Now, yeah.
I remember it as a very good book. I can't remember the details. And that happens with just about every book that I read. I read all the time, but I don't, after the fact, remember what I read, even those books that I really enjoy.
Okay.
That's a really good illustration of what Janet's memory is like, because she's actually read the book three times. She read it when I first wrote it on Facebook a day at a time, and then she read it after it was done, and then she read it again four times. She read it through the year again last year, and then she read it again after the manuscript was done. So she's read it four times. But she really could tell you only very little about the novel. And I certainly don't hold it against her. I understand that that's what her memory is like.
I love the book. I just don't remember the details.
Okay, well, that's good. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Janet, or not. There's a company called Marlena Books, and they have designed books specifically for people with memory loss and different types of dementia, where they just have like one paragraph on a page and then they have a picture on the other page so that you can stay on track, because they've interviewed with many people and said it's very hard for them to read a book because they get lost it just within a page sometimes, let alone a whole book. And so
I do not get lost when I'm reading the book. I don't remember it when I'm done.
Okay, because I was going to ask you if you reread, because a lot of people will kind of reread the same thing over and over, but you seem to have the flow down and just not remember the context. Okay, wonderful. Are you willing to share, Keith, at all about what the book is about, called This Is Red?
Oh,
for your project,
bet.
This Is Red? Okay.
Well, the project is called This Is Red, and that comes from a few different places. Our last name includes the word red. It's E-L-D-R-E-D, and whenever I tell people how to spell it, that's what I say. I say E-L-D and then red, like the color. So red has been important to me for a long time, so it's been floating in my brain for a long time. And so that's one thing. And then when I started to draft it, there were different aspects of red that just found their way into the story. And the book ended up with an odd title, which is actually Rubrum. It's R-U-B-R-U-M, but that means red in Latin. And Rubrum is the name of a scarlet convertible that's in the story. But Let me back up. The story is about a very severely isolated mechanic, and his name is Evan Easter. And we learn through the course of the novel, when we meet him, he's about age 35, and he's working alone in his garage, and he does transmission work because that's the kind of transmission rebuilding, because that's the kind of work that you can do alone as a mechanic. And then through a lot of flashbacks, we start to understand why he has isolated himself so much. And it ties back to a terrible childhood that he had that included abuse from his father, whose name is Jake and who was also a mechanic and gave him his trade. And there are a lot of losses in his life. He thinks a lot about the people that he misses, and they include his mother and a girl from his school days named Anna, who was very, very special to him. And he thinks about his sister, Bree, his stepsister, Bree, who tried to protect him from his father. And there was an incident in his teen years that involved this scarlet convertible rubrum that is very hard for him to live with. And so he spends decades trying to get over the hardship related to rubrum. And when we learn all of that and then meet him in his garage, he has sort of a supernatural experience where a ghost visits him and draws him out so that he needs to rescue a person that he's never met. And so we have this person who is a very isolated person who tries to stay away from everyone, and he's forced with the question, am I going to go out of my safe cocoon, this garage here, and rescue this person who is very, very important to me, even though I've never met her? And I know that even though I've never met the person, that person is very important to him. So he ends up with that dilemma. Am I going to stay isolated, or am I going to emerge and do the right thing?
Okay. Well, it sounds like an interesting novel to read, with a lot of twists and turns within it. I have a question for you in terms of, you know, raising the funds. I think it's wonderful that you want to raise the funds for the library, because you've put so much of your heart and soul into it. What types of things can you tell us that the library, you know, if you get this $1 million or whatever amount you end up being able to give them, what types of services do you want to be able to help in your community?
What I have in mind is money set aside so that for the next 20 years there will not be a problem with money, that we'll be able to afford the things that the library needs, but also some security for the library. There's always so much to provide. We have the latest technology in computers. We have a movie theater, you might call it. The kitchen, everything over time will need updated. We have a beautiful patio and the amphitheater I didn't mention before. So there's so many things that we would like to do and continue to do for the library.
Okay.
So the thing that I would add is that this may seem odd because the library is only 5 years old, but the previous library had the lifetime of the building was 35 years. And I believe that when we were in the middle of the capital campaign, we heard figures such as 20 years is the expected lifetime of a public institution, of a facility for a public institution such as a church or a library or a school. And so even 5 years in, you have to start thinking about either rebuilding or relocating. And you know, it's the kind of thing that after you go through a long, arduous capital campaign, you don't want to think about for decades. But unless you start thinking about it very early and start building a cushion for either maintenance or rebuilding or relocating, the library could be endangered. So that's one of the things that we've talked about, too, as well as what Janet said. There's operations, there's upgrading technologies. Technology changes so much, you just don't know what expenses you're going to have. And the current technology, we might be moving it all out. The library might be moving it all out within 5 or 10 years. And then how are you going to get the new stuff?
Now, one mistake looking back that we made, when I saw on the plans the amount of parking that we were going to have, I was thrilled because it was so much more than we had before. But often our parking is so full that it goes up the road in places that there really aren't parking places. So looking forward, we really need to develop more parking. And we do have a nice location next to the high school, and the high school has agreed to allow us to park in a parking lot that's not too far from the library, and we have a path, a stone path going from there to the library. But people don't realize that, and so they just kind of squeeze in our parking. We're so busy, and that's why parking is an issue.
Well, that speaks highly of the services that you're providing to your community. And you're right, parking can definitely be a big issue for many. And land is expensive. And like Keith had mentioned, with technology, too, is constantly changing. And that is very pricey. Not only is the software changing, but the hardware it has to keep being replaced as well. And I think you're wise to look big picture so that cush is there, because there's nothing worse than scrambling when you're, you know, in crisis, you know, trying to raise funds and so forth there. Can I ask, does your library do any programming as far as dementia goes with memory cafes or having an area for dementia? I know more and more are starting to do that. And I'm always curious when I talk with people if their libraries have incorporated that.
We have not yet done that. I've only really come out, so to speak, probably within the last year. I have other issues like seizures and that are maybe related to that. But no, we have not done that yet. It's certainly something I can see in the future.
Yeah, well, if you're ever interested, our librarian here in Ramsey County in Minnesota, Carol Jackson, started what she calls a memory minders kit, and those have become very popular. And they are kits where they actually got some of the communities to sponsor, you know, paying for these kits, but they're kind of a big plastic kit, and they hold typically a music theme. There's usually an educational piece, and then there's an interaction piece, and then they have now formulated a separate section just for Alzheimer's and dementia and caregiving, because the books are in such high demand. And so they have their own separate section, but the kits cover early, mid, and late stages. Now they're doing one for children to educate younger kids, and then also a Lewy body, and I think they're looking at a frontal temporal lobe too. And a lot of the libraries around the country are starting to institute these because people are finding the need for them as well. Our library also works with our grassroots group, and so they allow us to host our programming and stuff there, and so that's been a really nice collaboration. So there's so many things that the libraries do already to give back, but the whole dementia piece seems to be growing because a lot of their population is growing with it as well. So I just thought I'd mention that since you're so active. Again, if you ever want a resource, just let me know on that.
I will definitely follow up with that. It's a wonderful plan. We'll follow up and get some information and start that.
There's a lot of retirement homes around here, and the library does a good amount of outreach already. I think a lot of that is for schools, more so for younger residents. But this is what you're telling us, as well as about the Marlena books, is these are good examples of what we look for from this project. Because when you establish a huge goal like raising $1 million with a book, and you've never done that before, and you start sharing your experience with people, you end up forming these connections with people like yourself and learning about things that you never would have entertained before that raise the possibility of new things for the library to get into. So we've been getting a lot of those kinds of things from this project where we have new kinds of learning. One that happened just yesterday is as we tried to keep a very visible, we're starting to learn how to keep a very visible social media presence. And our social media is in all the places, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. It's at thisis.red, all spelled out, including the dot. So this is D-O-T and then R-E-D. So at thisis.red. One of the things that we do every weekday is produce a graphic that it looks like a meme, the kind of things that you see all over the internet with cats and kids and so on, where there's a graphic and there's words on top of it. And we post one every weekday that is called the Daily Red. And we have fun with the word red by using it as an acronym. And so, for example, next week I'll be posting one that is a picture of a raccoon who is sort of climbing down a crack in a stone wall. And the title on that one is Raccoon Easing Down, R-E-D. And we learned about an acronym yesterday that apparently has been used for many years for related to the military, that is Remember Everyone Deployed. It's another meaningful acronym related to RED, Remember Everyone Deployed. And there are people across the country and in other countries too, Canada also, where people wear red on Fridays in honor of troops that are deployed. And so that's just an example of how we set this big goal. We started learning things from day one. We launched in January, and we've just learned so much. I've learned about building a website. We've learned about producing videos. Janet and I had never been in any videos together, and we've produced a lot of videos now. And so it's just the learning just keeps on coming.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing once you jump in, and the connections that you make is very, it's very fun and enlightening. There's always something to learn in this process. I agree with you. Well, I think this just sounds like a wonderful project that you guys have, and how you're doing it together is fabulous too. A lot of times, couples kind of split up in terms of what is their purpose and their focus as life goes on. And you guys, it seems like it's just a very clear street and path that you're walking right now, and helping others in terms of raising awareness and doing good, and you know, following your own passion of books and literacy, I think is fabulous. So is there anything else that you would like to add, Janet, that we haven't talked about?
I feel more comfortable with a dementia since people now know about it. And they've been more accepting than I expected. You know, you think the board, if they know that I can't remember things, are they going to be supportive? And they've been very, very supportive, and the staff has been very supportive. I'll ask, for instance, I didn't know how to work the phone as far as the speaker and the mic, and so Kim, one of the employees, came in and showed me how to do that. I couldn't.
She means right before this recording, Lori, that we were. I wasn't familiar with how to use her phone, and neither was she, Janet.
Even though I've been using it for several years. But yep. People have been very supportive. For instance, the Wise Women Award last week, I was just awed that my community would would give that to me.
Well, you made a big impact on them, apparently.
Yeah, she had, I think, dozens of people come up and say that they were choked up and they were surprised at her courage. And I have not been surprised at her courage. I have been surprised at how comfortable and charming she is in the videos, because Janet is a shy librarian. And so that's the woman that I knew, but it's like she lights up and becomes a comedian when the camera is on. And we have gotten so many nice comments on the videos, and it honestly took me back to, well, it'll be our 29th anniversary in September, and it took me back to when I initially met her. It just gave me a fresh view of that somewhat younger woman who I just fell in love with initially. Such spirit. I guess you would say it's an unfortunate situation to be in, to be facing dementia, but things happen to everybody in life, and you have to look for the positives, and we've found enough positives that I trust that your audience will understand this. I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to make the most of this situation. I wrote an article that is on our Facebook page, Facebook at thisis.red, and it's called 13 Reasons Why I'm Grateful for My Wife's Dementia. And we've had many hundreds of reads of that, a couple hundred comments, and I think it's really opened the eyes of a lot of people.
Oh yeah, the honest, authentic stories. I think people just clamor towards them. You know, it's not a sales pitch. It's real everyday stuff that is occurring, and I think it takes out some of the scary when people don't feel so isolated and alone. They know others are walking their path where maybe they can't talk about it to their family or friends. Maybe they don't understand or aren't accepting, or you know, they're embarrassed, you know, to let anybody know, or fearful for whatever reason to let anybody know. Those are really common. And so social media has been a big gift, I think, in terms of allowing people to connect who never would have ever crossed paths if not for the internet. And video is a great way to be able to do that too with that.
One of our most popular videos was Janet and I revisiting a site that she caught glimpse of a local monument that's high on a hill, and she had a dim recollection of being up there one day with somebody, but she couldn't remember much about it. And I pulled over and we filmed the video, and we talked about the fact that I was the person that she was with on the top of that hill, and the things that we said when we were looking out from that high height. And I think that, you know, people could see us having fun together. And, you know, one of the beauties that you can find if you look for it in this situation is the number of firsts that Janet has. She gets to read my book again for the first time, or see a movie again for the first time, or hear a story that she actually lived through as if it happened to somebody else, and feel very grateful about it. So there actually are a lot of beautiful moments.
Yeah. You have to look for them. You have to look for different things than what you looked at, prior, is what I always tell people. And it's the smaller things that melt your heart and stay with you versus some of those big flashy things we're all looking for all the time.
Yes.
In this fast-paced world, it's very simple: the glint in the eye, the smile, the giggle, the touch, just sitting on the couch next to each other without saying a word, can be one of the most contempt-loving places to be, where you just feel safe and, you know, you don't have to explain yourself. And there's, those are really big gifts. And I think with people being so busy, they forget to sit still and just appreciate who's with them and what they get out of that relationship.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add what Keith said. Before I had my diagnosis, there were times he'd get very frustrated with me because it was like I wasn't paying attention or, you know, taking note of important things. But once the was diagnosed, I think he realized that it's not that I'm just ignoring things, that there's a reason behind it, and he's been very supportive and loving, and I just appreciate him.
Thank you, dear.
Keith,
is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap up?
Two things. One is I originally proposed this project, but as it has gone along, I've come to recognize that it's Janet's project, because if she were not willing to be the example that she is and be visible, there just wouldn't be the heart or the meaning or the importance to this project. And so in my mind, it is her project. I work for her, and it's my great honor. And the second thing I'd like to say is ask people to visit our website, which ties in with the project, the project name. So the project name is This Is Red, those three words, and the web address is thisis.red. So instead of .com, .red is the domain name. And so it might sound odd to people, but if you go to www.thisis.red, if you type that out, you'll go to the website, you'll see pictures of Janet and me, and on the homepage, there's a big button to pre-order the book so we can put you on a list for whenever it becomes available. And again, it should be by this fall. And we're aiming for $1 million. We're aiming for this book to eventually appear in every public library in the country. And we'd even like to see a movie about it someday. And again, we recognize our movie made from it someday, and we recognize that these are moonshot goals, but that's what makes all of this so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's and you never know where life is going to take you. So it's important to live your dream and, you know, put it out there for the world and see where it takes you. Just absolutely never know. Janet, anything you would like to add?
No, I can't think of anything in addition.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Well, I appreciate you joining us again today. We were so lucky to have Janet and Keith Eldred with us, and they are on a passion mission to raise $1 million for their library. Janet is living with dementia, and Keith is her husband and care partner, and they're doing this together. And I just admire their tenacity in terms of moving forward. Again, you can find more out about them by going to their website, This Is Red, or on social media, This Is .red, and you will find more about them there. In wrapping up, I want to give a shout out to the Memory Cafes. We're over 600 in the U.S., and if you are looking for one, or if you have a memory cafe that you want to get into the directory, just go to memorycafedirectory.com, and they will be glad to get you added to the list there. Also want to give a shout out to Maria Shriver and all her wonderful work with the Alzheimer's, Women's Alzheimer's Movement. She's just doing amazing, amazing things there. And she'll be working on the Move for the Minds programs this year a little bit later, where they have a panel of experts and some exercise and nutritional things that they put together. That's wonderful. And let's see, ADI, Alzheimer's Disease International, is doing a large survey right now. You can go to our website, alzheimerspeaks.com, and you will find that on our homepage to take. It'll take you probably 15 minutes or so, but they want to know what your thoughts are about dementia. They want to know if you are living with it, if you are caring for somebody, maybe you're a medical professional, but they're trying to figure out how to overcome stigmas and find out what resources and things that people need. And last, I want to give a shout out to the Alzheimer's Research and Prevention Foundation. They are good friends of Alzheimer's Speaks, and they just do a fabulous job, especially when it comes to holistic offerings. So they do a lot of training regarding meditation, exercise, and diet there. So until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful time, and we will talk soon. Bye now.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.